FM and 1700 The Champ, a Cumulus Media station broadcasting from the now hiringiowa.com studios. Live from the capital city, it's Steen on Sports.
Welcome in, everybody. Happy Friday. We are here. Friday, national championship game coming up later, early next week, Monday, I do believe. Monday or Tuesday, I'll have to look. The last games of the NFL season, all kinds of turmoil in NFL. A beautiful sunny day out there. Hope everybody's been enjoying. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ and the website 1700thechamp.com. Nothing live on the radio this evening. Tomorrow we get Northern Iowa versus Southern Illinois. 12:30 pregame and then Chiefs-Raiders kickoff at 3:30. What a huge game that is. On Sunday, you get North Dakota State versus South Dakota State for the FCS Championship, 12:30 pregame. And then you get the Lions and the Packers to get into the playoffs, and that starts at 6:30. So you got a lot of sports going to be on here on 101.3 FM and 1700 Champ AM, so take advantage of that. I want to thank the sponsors of the program, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Des Moines Orthopedic, Heritage Building Maintenance, and Palmer Group. Could not do this without them. Guests, we have B Styles coming in at 5:21. I have Maddie Nelson, Wide Right, Natty Light coming in at 5. And then I have a couple, let me see here. We're going to have David Eicholt come in next week, and I have next Thursday, when we are doing Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott, Mr. John Schaefer coming in, for a couple of segments after. He's going to come in at the 4:20 hour and take us up to the 5 o'clock hour. So some exciting stuff happening and going to be a ton of fun to get to talk to all those guys. A lot to talk about. Let's start there. Well, let's start with the good news on, you know, kind of what we've been talking all week about Damar Hamlin's recovery. He got the breathing tube out. I think he got the breathing tube out in the middle of the night. They said early morning. He was able to kind of raspy out some words to his Buffalo Bills teammates on a FaceTime call. Did a muscle and did a heart that he always does. It's some pretty exciting stuff. He's still got a long road. You still have to check out to see what all is going on and make sure everything is working correctly. But man, from where we were to where we are was quite the journey. Journey for coaches and players and fans and family that I don't think, and the country for that matter. And we can't take that lightly on its effect on everybody. I mean, we live in a crazy time right now. We politics wise, we can't elect the Speaker of the House because everybody's fighting. You know, elections we fight, commercials we fight. This was something that was very tragic, that with everybody working together, we've turned the corner to make it be a success story about what can happen when something out of the ordinary happens. It's touching that everything had to work correctly for this to not have a different outcome. And we've talked all week about the team, the team doctors, the team trainers, giving CPR for a long, long time that saved his life. Understanding that they needed to, and that was Denny Kellington, understanding that getting oxygen and getting him and having oxygen is a huge deal. There were just enough people. There was enough people there to make sure that the hospital was on that has been called. And everything had to work right. And once he got to the hospital, all the things that had to work right there. It's a great, it's a great thing for Cincinnati and both football teams, the NFL. Today you start to hear a little bit of behind the scenes of ESPN doing their coverage and how difficult it was for everybody. You have different ways to look at all the people that were involved. You had past football players that are involved in that broadcast that see one of their own. I mean, once you become an NFL football player, you're with that family for life. And that's how people think. That's how that community thinks of each other. They're brothers. And when you see something happen to your brother and on the field like that, it was just success story after success story. And maybe that's a shining light that we can keep shining for a while. That we don't have to sit around and argue and fight. We don't have to be obstinate. We can work things out. We can sit down, have a conversation, and work things out. That's kind of my hope through all this. And to see him, I really do not care if he plays football again. He might, but I just want him to be able to live his life. He's got a big job coming up because what he thought was just a small charity is not a small charity anymore. So he has a lot of things to look forward to. And it was just it was really fun to be a part of it. And there's been more news today too. Peyton Hillis was a fullback for the Browns. Might have been with the Ravens as well. I think his kids and him and family were out. They might have been vacationing. I didn't read the whole thing, but a couple of his children were drowning. He goes out, he saves his two children, and now he's in critical condition in a hospital. So we want to keep him in our prayers as well. Just another one of those guys doing what they, doing everything that they can and putting their life on the line to save other people's lives. Some other big news today. I thought this was a big news statement. Abu Sama from Southeast Polk going to Iowa State, going to be a very exciting player to have at Iowa State. Won Gatorade Player of the Year this year for the state of Iowa with Caden Proctor here. I thought that was interesting. Iowa State now with a couple, because another one of the recruits was the Player of the Year in Minnesota as well. And that's after a really good week for the Cyclones in recruiting for basketball. Speaking of basketball, a huge win for the Iowa Hawkeyes last night. And if you take a step back and you look at that game last night, this is becoming a little bit dangerous for the Iowa Hawkeyes. They get off to really slow starts. And it is something that they're really going to have to try and work on so they're not behind the eight ball as much as they were. But they fought back. They fought back on defense. They fought back on, they did what they needed to do. You had a huge game from Chris Murray last night. I'm trying to pull up the – I apologize for that. I'm trying to pull up the – I skipped ahead one too many days. I hit that. I needed that. Oh, you'd think I'd know my days. And talking before the Iowa game last night, I was watching a little bit of the Purdue Ohio State game. What a nice comeback from Purdue to take that game in Ohio at Ohio State. That is not an easy place to play. The Iowa Hawkeyes came back last night and they won 91-89. They were down 50-40 at half. They outscored Indiana 51-39. It was a contentious game. Coaches getting technicals, having to be separated from each other. That's going to be an interesting game when that one goes to Indiana. Chris Murray, a great night. I was kind of thinking, you know, who do you give game balls to? Well, you have to. He had 10 rebounds. He had a block. He only had one turnover. He was playing in foul trouble pretty much the entire second half. 11 of 18, 3 of 6 from three-point land. He had a great game. This is one of those times, though, that once again, you expect that from Chris Murray. Flip Rebecca had 19 points, had 10 rebounds. He had a magnificent game, fouled out late. Tony Perkins had one of his better games, had 10 points. He did have three turnovers, but he still had a good game. Kind of a breakout game a little bit for Peyton Sanford, even though he shot 25% from three. He had 11 points. My star of the game is Connor McCaffrey. He played 36 of the 40 minutes. Chris Murray played the whole game, played 40 minutes. Flipper Brekka, until he fouled out, had played the whole game. Your biggest problem that Iowa's going to have when they face some other teams in the Big Ten is they're just not big and they're not deep. But I thought it was nice that Peyton Sanford had a good game. But once again, Connor McCaffrey has 16 points. He has two rebounds. He has three assists. He has a steal. Only had two fouls. Only had one turnover. They only had 12 turnovers. Indiana only had 14. Personal fouls were 23-19. It was a game that Iowa needed to win. They didn't start out well, but they finished. And that's what you have to do. So, and to if you want to know some of the, see, that can't be right. It says that, well, maybe it is. It says that Indiana was 17-26 from the free throw line. If you're ever going to lose a game, that is a great way to lose a game, is not being able to hit shots when no one's defending you. Iowa Hawkeyes, on the other hand, were 22-25 for 88%. When you look at, I mean, that, if I'm coaching, those are some things that I highlight. Listen, I highlight that. I highlight that you had a five rebound edge. You had a four rebound edge in offensive rebounds. That's great. You had more steals than they did. You had two less turnovers than they did. You had four less fouls than they did. That's the little things that help you win basketball games. And that's what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to listen night in and night out. And I don't understand. And I'm not trying to, I'm actually bragging up Chris Murray. If it's me and I'm a coach, I do. There was no way in the world that he gets 18 shots off last night. There's no way. I want anybody else, especially with Patrick not being in there. Have somebody else beat you on the floor. Now, he makes that difficult because he moves well without the ball. He's quicker and faster than what you think he is. You know, you can't pick that up by watching film. And he had a magnificent game. One of the biggest plays of the night, they're trying to get the ball inbounds, being pressed. Connor McCaffrey gives a head nod, and Chris Murray takes off, and he throws almost a full court pass, bringing his baseball glory into it. Chris Murray catches it and just throws it up in the air. Game's over. It was a huge win, and I'm really excited for the Iowa Hawkeyes to get that win. you can see when you're going to play some of these teams, you can see Holt. I watched the Purdue-Ohio State game. Some of these things that they did last night, it's not as easy to do against those teams. So, but that's what you need. That's what you want. And it is a big win in the Big Ten because you have to win your home games. A little bit more with college basketball. And last night with Mike Woodson and Fran McCaffrey and Brad Underwood, man, there's some grumpy, growly coaches in the Big Ten. Brad Underwood, not against referees, it was on his own players. I mean, he looked like he was going to stroke out yelling at his players. I kind of had this thought that a lot of that has gone away, and you don't see that. Fran uses all of his energy to yell at referees and to make sure other coaches are doing what they're supposed to be doing. And here's the really funny thing. We got to have about a minute. Somebody went back and looked on when Fran goes off and gets a technical foul. It's really good for his basketball team. Now, he can't do it just willy-nilly, but when he does do it with cause, and I think they had some cause, they responded, and it mattered. But you're starting to look at some of these coaches and some of their activities on the sidelines. Juwan Howard, another, hitting another coach, getting out in the middle of the floor. It's probably something that the NCAA is going to have to take a look at. The Big Ten is going to have to take a look at. And it's happening all over. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. I got another segment coming up. We do have Maddie Nelson and B-Styles coming in later.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 process. You're listening to Steen on Sports. Join the conversation on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Friday. Hope everybody had a great day. The weekend, we are close. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ and website 1700champ.com. Nice to have everybody in and listening today. I appreciate it. We have Saturday, tomorrow, we have Northern Iowa versus Southern Illinois. Starts at 12:30. And then you're going to get the Chiefs and Raiders kickoff at 3:30. And then two games that day. The other game, huge game. The Kansas City-Las Vegas game is a big game. It's a big game for Kansas City. Kansas City with a win is the number one seed. If Kansas City loses, then they need help to see if they're the two, the three. I mean, it's a garbled mess because of everything that happened. And I've listened to everybody all day long today. I'm gonna do a read here in just a second. I've listened to everybody all day long complaining and blah blah blah. Things could have been a lot worse. If this news hadn't gotten better, and you know, he is DeMar is at, you know, he's at a point right now where he's at. If this wouldn't have gotten better, this would have been a whole totally different story. If he still would have been in there, still without, you know, answers and still fighting for his life, this weekend's games would have been a whole totally different thing. The NFL got lucky. I think they're overthinking themselves a little bit. I'm not going to sit here and fight on all of their, you know, should this team be the number one seed and now you're doing it on winning percentage. It's always been in there, by the way, of winning percentage. You have to win your division and then it's based on winning percentage. I think they're kind of fighting over nothing. So if Kansas City plays Buffalo or Kansas City plays Cincinnati, or if Cincinnati plays Buffalo in the championship game, it's going to be at a neutral site. I don't know if that's good. I don't know if that's bad. If it takes some of these cities that like to have the weather that they play in to bring somebody into if they're going to play it indoors. They haven't announced where they're going to play yet, so it's all up in the air. But it's just interesting that all the back channel talking that's happening with the NFL. And like I said, I think the NFL started out poorly with the 5 minutes and, you know, hey, we're going to start warming up. We're going to get 5 minutes to warm up. They deny they said it. There are more people that said they did say it than are saying that they didn't. So they kind of were teetering the wrong way. Now I think they're overcompensating a little bit, but still, it's a difficult situation. You don't know this is going to happen, so I don't think they've done a poor job. This segment is going to be brought to you by Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can count on, bank on. Jeez, what a horrible read. Sorry, starting over. Northwest Bank, commitment that you can bank on. Taking care of your personal, business, mortgage, agriculture, private banking, wealth management, insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, 3 locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Check out Northwest Bank mobile app for ease of doing banking whenever your phone is in your hand. Also, take advantage of applying online for loans from Northwest Bank. You can also go in. If you're one of those people that you want some face-to-face, they're the group to do it for you. They're just giving you other options. Once again, don't wait and open up an account with Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can count on. Member FDIC. Okay, so I was a little harsh on Jim Harbaugh yesterday because Jim Harbaugh stated a couple of times saying he was aware of the rumors and the speculations out there about him in Michigan and him in the NFL. And I kind of smacked back a little bit saying, Jim, the things that are out there are organizations saying that they've had conversations with you, not conversations with your agent, not conversations with your bargaining party or whatever, but they were having conversations with you. So the rumors and speculations aren't rumors and speculations if you're the person that's talking to these teams. And then he half-heartedly said, I mean, in a weird way that he said it, that, you know, Michigan is the place for me unless something happens. Well, then you wake up this morning and I actually think it broke late last night, but I saw it. I had it pop up on my phone. I just don't remember looking at what time it popped up on the phone. I was sleeping. But Jim Harbaugh is a part of an investigation at the University of Michigan. The NCAA to charge, and I'm going to read this, for alleged recruiting and practice violations during the COVID 19 dead period. Here's the one that has gotten them in the most trouble. They said that one of the level one violations, and it seems to be the violation, was that he took one of the recruits to get him a hamburger at the Brown Jug. NCAA found a receipt. I don't know how they found a receipt. I didn't know that their investigative team was that good. I have a comment on that as well, but I'll finish this one. And it said that when they asked about it, that Harbaugh misled the NCAA when it approached him with the allegations. A level one violation could result in suspension and in some cases grounds for dismissal based on the language of the coach's contract. In this case, the school could move to terminate Harbaugh's contract, according to Yahoo Sports. Providing false and misleading information is a violation of NCAA bylaw 10.1, which deals with unethical conduct violations of a bylaw. So what they're saying here is that a student that was on a recruiting trip, he got a hamburger. I mean, you have things that are happening in the NCAA. You have sexual abuse charges. You have all these things against these student athletes that are happening to these student athletes. And your biggest violation is he got the kid a hamburger during COVID. I think that's one of the things that sometimes scares some of these college coaches, because even if it's an underlying person in the investigation that has done the charges, you are the You are the stopping point. Now, your assistant or whoever was doing it could be let go, could be charged. But the person that's in charge of the program is you. And I mean, that is one of the things that is that you have to deal with when you're dealing with the NCAA. My issue that I have with the NCAA is that they mess up more investigations and over investigate and under investigate. If I had to take a look back at all the things they've investigated, I think the biggest cases, you know, that gets attention to them, they like to do those. But I think they gravitate to ones that they can win, because they don't win all of them. I don't even know if they win half of them. It's not a good look for the NCAA. There are so many things that are wrong with the NCAA. And the fact that you are one of the instances is because a hamburger was bought. I mean, if you do a deep dive, man, there's way worse stuff going on than that. We've seen it. I'm telling you that if you watch the Brad Underwood yelling and screaming in the huddle at a basketball game, if I'm a parent of a student athlete, and I have a bunch of friends. It says, man, you have to be able to take that. You have to be able to, that's the coach trying to get you to do the right thing or whatever. And those same moms and dads that say that to me sometimes wouldn't treat their children that way. But it's okay if you send your son off to be at a college athletic program, you're going to think that's okay for someone else to do that. I have a hard time with that. I don't know what I think about that. But think of all that the NCAA is going to be the person that pushes Jim Harbaugh out of college football for buying a hamburger and put him back in the NFL at one of the locations that he can land at. And I was told today by a pretty good source that there are places that don't have openings right now that have also talked to Jim Harbaugh's people, him. I don't, it didn't state, it just said people, for job openings that aren't even job openings yet. So I think, no matter what happens, I think he's going to land on his feet and fine. Just to jump back to with the Brad Underwood, Chris Beard, Mike Woodson last night in his press conference afterwards used some not so good language and complained about officiating. I don't particularly like that either. Granted, I coached at such a low level, but there were still you're coaching 13, 14, 15 year old kids, and you have to do it in a different way. And I learned that pretty quickly. I mean, I had somewhat at times can have a temper, not with my kids, but the kids that I was coaching, but with other parents or referees. And after not embarrassing myself, I mean, it probably did in such a way. And I was thrown out of a game, and I walked back in after the game. I apologized to all the parents. I apologized to the referee, who was a friend of mine, and said it made me look at myself differently and made me realize that isn't the type of person that I am, and it's just that competitive nature gets in the way. And I think that happens with these coaches as well. Last night with Fran and all those guys, it was a mess. And everybody is so quick to blame the coaches for what they were doing. I've now watched, in the last 4 days, I've watched 7 NCAA basketball games and 3 NBA games. And officiating is not even, it is not good. And I don't know what you do about it. The NBA officials are better, and it's a harder league to do because of all the athleticism. you missed calls last night in the Iowa Indiana game. Blatant calls. There were blatant calls in the Iowa State Oklahoma game, and there were blatant calls missed on both sides. The worst with hardly any time left, and Taman Lipsey trying to get to the ball gets held, smacked in the head, and knocked to the floor, and they don't call anything. I don't understand. I get these are athletic kids. When you sit and watch a game, there are times when you're watching officials that it looks like they want to be more a part of the game than the players and the coaches and the fans. Or they just blatantly have things that happen in front of them that they don't blow their whistle and then blow their whistle. I understand it's not an easy job. I don't have the attention span. I've tried to ref before. I was horrible because I get involved in the play and I'm watching and I forget to blow my whistle. But these are people that get paid good money to do what they do, and they are not doing very well. There are different websites out there that grade these teams that go around and officiate together. And I don't think there is a team in the NCAA right now of officials that have an A rating. I think a B minus is the top rating that they had. And some in the NBA are even below a B minus. And there's some NCAA ones that are well below a B minus. And when you take that, and this is going to sound crazy, and because I think there's more of them, and there's more things happening on the field, but maybe not at as high a pace. I think NFL officiating, except for I think they carry the rules too far sometimes, is pretty good. NBA officiating is not outstanding. College officiating is getting very poor. High school officiating is actually better than I think college or professional is. And don't even get me started on baseball umpiring. Baseball umpiring behind home plate is atrocious. It's atrocious so much that I don't think that you can, these teams that go around, these umpiring teams that go around, I don't think you can switch who's behind the plate in some of these games because they're so bad. I have no idea why I got on a referee kick, but getting back to, well, I think I did just because of Fran McCaffrey and Mike Woodson and the things that were going on last night. It's not a good look, and I'm not totally blaming the coaches for it because I think some of it was needed because I don't think they were calling a good game. And you have to do something because you are coaching your players to play the game the right way. And if they're not allowing you to play the game the right way, you have to get your point across. You are listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. I have Maddie Nelson coming in at 5. I have B-Styles coming in at 5:21. So I have two segments left on the 40 marks on both hours. Be right back.
Second down, goal to go at the 3 for Mahomes. McKinnon is the running back now. He feels
steady. It's Steen on Sports. 1700, The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in once again. Happy Friday. Last segment of this first hour already. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM. 1700, The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. Tomorrow, you get Northern Iowa, Southern Illinois, 12:30 pregame. Chiefs, Raiders at 3:30. North Dakota State, South Dakota State for the FCS Championship game on Sunday. And then you get Lions and Packers to end the weekend. We'll talk about that game here in a second. This next segment is going to be brought to you by Heritage Building Maintenance. Provides quality health-centric building maintenance and janitorial services throughout Central Iowa. Provide the best solutions for building maintenance and commercial janitorial services throughout the Midwest as well. Heritage is a future focused and driven by technology to find healthier and more efficient ways to serve their clients. They believe they should provide the first line of defense and proper health care, be industry leaders in implementing health-focused innovative and innovation and technology, provide a peace of mind and protecting our future by being certified partners of science-proven microbial control to provide an advanced level of janitorial service to their clients. Go to heritagebuilding.com to check out more about cleaning and the future of janitorial services. You can also look for jobs that are open. They're busy. And keeping that staff full and ready to go is very important as well. I want to thank Heritage Building Maintenance for being a part of our program. Okay, so I wanted to go through and kind of walk through this week's schedule. I mean, you have some very meaningful games, and I thought I'd pick the games while we're at it. So first up, tomorrow you're going to get Kansas City in Vegas. It's a big game for Kansas City. It's a must-win. I think they're going to play their guys. I don't know what Las Vegas has to play for. I think the team's a little bit in disarray, but maybe not as much disarray as everybody thinks. You know, Derek Carr is well-liked. I don't know where you rank him in your quarterbacks, but I think he's well-liked. But it seems that it was a brewing fight that was a no win for everybody, and so Las Vegas just said, you know, we're gonna try something else. Really looking for Kansas City to win that game. This next one is tough because my heart says I want Jacksonville to win this game, make it into the playoffs, win the division, and two things for that. Number one, extremely happy for Trevor Lawrence and the team and Doug Peterson. My hatred for Urban Meyer proves a point of how horrible a coach and human being he might be. Man, the Tennessee Titans are tough, don't have their quarterback. I'm going to take Jacksonville, and Jacksonville is kind of back where they were a few years ago when they were a playoff team. That's going to be really exciting. Tampa Bay and Atlanta means absolutely nothing. My assumption is you're going to have a lot of people resting, so I'm not picking that game. Here's one of the most difficult games to pick of this whole entire weekend, and that is the New England Patriots at the Buffalo Bills. Man, what a bunch of feelings and sadness and happiness and all of that for the Buffalo Bills. And you're playing the hated New England Patriots. And I'm not saying, Nana, don't get mad at me. I'm not saying I hate the New England Patriots, but I might. I am saying that in the AFC and with Buffalo, they do not like the New England Patriots. I think the Buffalo Bills will win that game and keep the New England Patriots out of the playoffs. Minnesota, Chicago pretty much means nothing, I would assume. You know, I guess of all the things, Chicago could get the number one pick. I don't think Chicago needs a number one pick because they're not picking a quarterback. So I'm curious to see how that's going to happen. The next one is tugging at my heartstrings as well. You have Baltimore at Cincinnati. I do not think that my Baltimore Ravens are good enough to win that game, so I'm picking Cincinnati. Baltimore's going to have to maybe just go and come right back and play that same game. It'll be interesting to see how that all flies. Houston at Indianapolis. Houston's looking for that first pick. They need the first pick. They need a quarterback. If that's Young from Alabama, if that's C.J. Stroud, who does better? It'll be curious to see what that happens, but I think Indianapolis will win that game. I don't think Jeff Saturday will be back to coach that team, and it'll be interesting to see what they do. In that vein, here, this we're doing this again, and we're doing it right now because the San Francisco 49ers and their defense, their offense is really good, but their defense is really good too. It is top notch. So DeMarco Ryans is getting a lot of talk today. If you were on social media today, DeMarco Ryans, who I think is a brilliant young football coach. He has one thing that's going against him in my world of NFL coaching, and that is that he is a defensive coordinator. And he's also a defensive coordinator of a football team that was very well put together by San Francisco 49ers front office, John Lynch, and all of those guys, and have playmakers after playmakers after playmakers on defense. And he's a defensive coordinator. The jobs that are going to be open probably don't have either that. They don't have a great defense. They don't have a great offense. But to win in this league, you have to have an offense that can play well. And it can't be predicated on, if you have a defensive coordinator as your coach, having a defensive philosophy on how to win football games. The San Francisco 49ers defense is amazing. But if their offense doesn't score, their defense can't win games alone. I don't know why. And I don't want to stop these individuals from getting looks and getting chances. But haven't you seen enough of them? Todd Bowles with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is not the answer for Tampa Bay. Right now, he's the problem in Tampa Bay. He isn't what, and when you're saying all these things about Tom Brady, that he's, you know, he's grouchy and he's doing all that stuff. He has lived in a system of very strict ways that you do things. And he's had two coaches now, Bruce Arians, a brilliant mind, and Todd Bowles, a great defensive coordinator, that don't know how to run football teams in a way that Tom Brady can win because nobody's held accountable. I find that, I get that DeMarco Ryans is a really good coach. I get that the Bosa and a whole bunch of other players on that team are really good football players. That matters. If you go to the Houston Texans or you go to the, you know, he's not going to the Chicago Bears. If you go somewhere and you're a defensive coordinator and you inherit a team that doesn't have San Francisco's defense, what are you going to do? I don't understand it. The next game, so I said Cincinnati. The next game is the New York Jets at Miami. I think the New York Jets would like nothing better than to ruin Miami, even having to look forward to see if they can make the playoffs if New England loses and beat Miami. And I feel really bad for Scott for saying that, but I'm going to take the Jets. Except for that they do have Joe Flacco quarterbacking, which, ugh, man, maybe I'll take that back. You know what? I think I am going to take that back. I'm going to take Miami to win that game. Carolina at New Orleans, yeah, doesn't matter. Cleveland at Pittsburgh, that game matters. It's in Pittsburgh. They don't like each other, and Pittsburgh needs a win if it wants to keep its hopes alive. I'm going to take Pittsburgh. There you go, Jamie Gipple. I took Pittsburgh for you. Probably a curse, the curse of me. The Chargers are at the Denver Broncos. I don't know how many people the Chargers are going to play. Chargers want to get ready. They made the playoffs. They made the playoffs, and with or without Coach Staley, I'm still not a big fan. The New York Giants at the Philadelphia Eagles. That's an interesting game. The Giants are in. Philadelphia's in. Philadelphia needs the number one seed. The Giants would love to take that away from them. Jalen Hurts needs a game to try to get back. He's not going to be the same Jalen Hurts because of his shoulder, so that'll be interesting. We'll see how that goes. Arizona at San Francisco. This is going to be an ugly game. Brock Purdy may play a half, get a couple of touchdowns, so he has like six games in a row with two touchdowns and call it a day. L.A. at Seattle is a huge game. Seattle can control their own destiny. They need to win. Then they need the Lions to win, and they can get in the playoffs. Dallas at Washington, that is a hatred game. Dallas would love to get a win to see if they can get, you know, if they can wrestle a number one seed away from anybody, if they can do any of those things. And then the granddaddy of them all, I'm taking Dallas in that game. I'm taking Philadelphia in the game before that. The granddaddy of them all is Detroit versus Green Bay in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers isn't losing this game. And just for all of you out there, the reason that they're on their winning streak isn't because of Aaron Rodgers. It's in spite of Aaron Rodgers. He has not played well. Their defense started playing well. When we came into the season, it was stated that they should have one of the top five defenses in the NFL, and they were in the bottom five for a long time. So all of you that are Aaron Rodgers is back. No, he's not, but the defense is back. But I think they'll have enough to take care of that. They'll make the playoffs, and we'll see what happens. You're listening to Steen on Sports. You're listening to us live on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports fans. Maddie Nelson coming up next.